The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are David Fannin of KMCD Radio in Fairfield and Mike Hohenbrink of the Sigourney News Review. The first question will come from KMCD's David.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator.
Same to you, David.
The State Department yesterday released an official statement contradicting Hillary Clinton's version of how she was turning her emails over to them. I find that to be very significant because it's not a leak, but an official statement and most likely approved by the Secretary of State, if not the President himself. Now, your letter to the Justice Department regarding a proper session and whether the Justice Department would deem that a waiver of a witness's Fifth Amendment constitutional right seems to have fallen on deaf ears, or at least they don't seem to want to answer. This is kind of a two-question. First, what is happening going forward to compel Brian Paliano to testify regarding his connection to the Clinton email server investigation? And with the State Department's official statement and the continued retrieval of emails from Mrs. Clinton's server, will you push for criminal charges?
Well, I can say criminal charges ought to be filed, but that's an executive branch a decision. It's not mine. So in the meantime, we're trying to get the information out. And the gentleman that you mentioned, his name is very important. And right now we're trying to find out whether or not if we give him immunity, would he testify? He told us he wouldn't. He wouldn't even state if we gave him immunity ahead of time that he would come and talk to us. His lawyers have been doing all the talking for him. So that's one issue. But he is a person to get us to the bottom of all these other things that the State Department and the FBI is talking about. And it's kind of jumbled now, but I think you're right that what the State Department itself said is a significant move in the direction that I would say two things. One, it's contrary to what she has said in the past. And secondly, it kind of confirms some of the things that we're trying to get information on from the State Department that we haven't yet got that information. Mike.
Not to mention.
Do a follow-up.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Not to mention that Vice President Biden most likely will now run with the president's endorsement.
Yeah. I doubt if the president's going to endorse, but I think there's an implication there of endorsement. The other thing is that I think maybe Biden would be running regardless of how this comes out. But the fact that it is quite an issue and it's got something to do with Hillary's approval rating going down is impetus for him to run. Mike?
Okay. Senator. With the crowded field of candidates currently visiting the state of Iowa, what does this prominence mean for our state right now? Will it have any lasting impact?
Well, I think, first of all, Iowa being first in the nation caucus, first in the nation generally, and it's a state where you can campaign if you want to vigorously do it and spend a lot of time there without a lot of money. So what it means to me is it's people that maybe could be president of the United States that maybe don't have the resources right off the bat to run to make a big impact and possibly become president. The second thing is that Iowans are uniquely qualified because of their interest in civic affairs and the general high education level of Iowans compared to other states. For us to be very discriminating in what we do in this area and to send a signal, maybe not a earth-shaking signal, but at least a signal with very great significance to the rest of the country about what these candidates are. And it's kind of a grassroots democracy that after March the 1st, when you get into 13 primaries on Super Tuesday, you're not going to have that sort of grassroots political activity. And it seems to me grassroots political activity is best in the spirit of our Republican form of government. Back to David.
Senator, congratulations on receiving the Fueling Growth Award.
Yeah.
For your work, very much.
For biofuels, yes.
Yeah, I can you give us an update on your efforts to prop up the renewable fuel standard?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if it's going to be done away with, people have to pass legislation to do away with it. It's not like the biodiesel and the ethanol tax credit that has to be reinstituted in order to keep it going. We'll keep the IRFS unless people have the ability to repeal it. And I don't know about the House representatives, but I think we can stop repeal in the Senate, so we'll continue to go. So it isn't a case so much of keeping the IRFS. It's a case of fighting with the bureaucrats and EPA, who I think are acting against the law, to get them to be more reasonable and follow the law and use the limits that are within the law. Now, that's very important, because we have to move to E15 if we're going to use cellulosic ethanol. And if EPA keeps stepping in as they have the last couple years, they're going to disturb the capital investment it takes to move to E15. Mike?
Senator, the Dakota Access Pipeline has been in the news quite a bit. This is running through a number of states, including Iowa. Your thoughts on this? How important is a project like this?
Yeah, pipelines are very important for two reasons. One, it's a more efficient way of transportation. Probably saves money as well. And the other thing is, even though there's always some environmental problems with anything you do, there's less environmental problems with pipelines than there is with tanker cars and trucks hauling the stuff. So pipelines are very important. In fact, it's just common sense. Without pipelines, no home in the United States would be able to heat by natural gas, as one example. So nobody can poo-poo the need for pipelines. But this is kind of a controversial pipeline that you're asking me about. And I'm glad I don't have to take a stand on a specific pipeline, because this is going to be decided by the State Utility Commission, whether or not it ought to cross Iowa.
Okay.
Back to David.
Thank you, Senator. Many people around the country are concerned about a potential influx of refugees from Syria and possible dangers regarding terrorist infiltration. Can the government properly vet the Syrian refugees to ensure that terrorists aren't coming in too?
I believe, I have very serious doubts that they can adequately vet it under the ways we've been vetting people so far. And your question raises the very key point I raised with Secretary Kerry when he informed us that they were going to take 10,000 Syrian refugees, 2016 fiscal year. And I'm not satisfied. I put out a press release last week with Congressman Goodlatte, chairman of the same committee I'm chairman of. He's in the House. About our questioning it, and we haven't decided what we're going to do about it. But it seems to me if they're going to move forward, and under existing law they can move forward, now maybe we ought to think about changing the law, but it's very difficult to change law. So then maybe through the appropriation process we can put some restrictions on. But we haven't made our mind up yet what we were going to do. Thank you, David and Mike, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.